came in this morning as the rain was coming down. We came in, it was light coming in this morning, then it got heavy and light, heavy again. I think it's supposed to be that way all day, so I thought about God's trying to test Baptists lately and see if the weather's bad, see if you'll still come to church. So some of you must not have Baptist backgrounds because you're here this morning, so glad you're here. Hey, I was I'm supposed to schedule to be out of town next month, and I had to make an arrangement. I had to fly. And I haven't booked an airline ticket, and I couldn't tell you when. Either Wendy does it for me, or Derek does it for me, or whenever I travel, I don't like to fly, someone else does it for me. And so I remember back in the days when I used to do it everything myself. I got on all the new price lines and everything, and realized, you know, I look for the cheapest flight. I can't stand to pay for flights. So I went through all these things and then realized as I booked or planned to book a flight, it was a stop in Atlanta. If I went out of Augusta, stop somewhere else, go to Chicago. If I had to do this, I don't mind doing that. But every time I had to choose a seat from stop to stop, they charged me an upcharge of $23 for choosing my seat on Priceline. I'm like, well, this is crazy. This is building a pretty big ticket. And so I went back and I said, well, I used to do it just on Delta because it was out of Atlanta. And I said, I'm just going to do it with Delta. And I went back, saved $75 doing it just myself, didn't have to pay an upgrade. So an upgrade is from the back to the next seat up. So not like first class or anything like that. But I looked at it and I was like, it says there's three seats available left for this. Do you want it? And I waited. And I ended up closing it out and said, I'll do it later. Come back on, there was two seats left. Do you want it? And I'm like, well, I was just on here, and I know that I need to get to Pennsylvania, so why is my reservations not made, right? Why is it not made? Because I didn't register. I'd put in my search request. I wanted to get to Pennsylvania. I have to go to Pennsylvania. I knew where I had to go. It really knew where I had to go. It knew the times that I wanted to go. It knew the dates that I'm going, and yet it didn't register me. Why? Because I had something to do. I had to register. I had to put my information in, and I had to request it, and then I had to pay for it. And so today, if you look at our Facebook page, I made a commitment that we're going to register people for heaven today. So did you see it? We're going to register you today because it talks about it in Scripture. You get registered for heaven. So let me go ahead and put it out there in front of time that heaven is real. You do have to make your reservations. And the only way to make those reservations is to request them with your information saying, the Lord Jesus Christ, I know that I'm a sinner. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And I want to receive salvation and my reservation in heaven through your blood, through the spilt blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and his resurrection. I believe God raised him from the dead. When you commit to that, to the Lord Jesus Christ's words and the words of the New Testament, and you can confess the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you then and there are registered for heaven. He said, well, how can you know? Well, the New King James, that's the Bible I'm preaching out of and teaching out of today, it actually uses the word registered here in heaven today. So I want to use the word of God for what it says. I hope that you walk out of here today going, you know what? I've never had that picture of God. I'm going to set this up two ways. We're going to be Old Testament, Old Covenant, and New Testament, New Covenant. So get ready to turn in your Bible just a little bit. We won't race through a lot. But I want you to understand the difference as we read the Word of God today, because the writer of Hebrews, we've been going through Hebrews, that's why I write the notes like they do, because we're picking up from where we stopped last week. The writer of Hebrews is writing to a group of Hebrews before the temple has been destroyed. So we know it's before AD 70. Some people believe it's around 57 whenever this is written. And so today, you're going to see Old Testament. But let me lay some groundwork before we go. Is God the same yesterday, today, and forevermore? Yes or no? So Old Testament God, same as the New Testament God? Yes, okay. All right. For us as humans, have we changed? Are we the same as we were used to be? Since Adam and Eve sinned, are we the same? Old Testament, sinners, right? New Testament, sinners. So put this in your notes if you take notes. God never changes, and really humanity has never changed. There's nothing new under the sun, King Solomon said. So with that said, let's read, if you would, Hebrews, beginning in chapter 12. We're going to pick up in verse 18. We left off at verse 17 last week. And if you read verse 18 by itself, if you're a new believer and you just pick up where we're at, you're going, what are they talking about? What is this Bible passage talking about? It's highly confusing without a little bit of knowledge of the Old Testament. This is how cults and other things get started, when people just drop in the middle of Scripture somewhere and don't really have a reference or what God's Word says. So make sure you read it all together. Stay with us today. Verse 18, for you have not come to the mountain that may be touched and that burned with fire, and to the blackness and darkness and tempest. Verse 19, and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, so that those who heard it begged that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. For they could not endure what was commanded. And if as so much as a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned or shot with an arrow. At this point, you're like, what are we talking about? Let's continue. And so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I am exceedingly afraid and trembling. But you, this is to the believers of the time, to the Hebrew believers and to us today, but you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered where? Registered in heaven. There's the word registration. Who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for today. Thank you for your word. And Lord, we can actually open it up and say, sometimes it's confusing until we keep reading or go back and do a little bit of research. So today, Lord, help us to be clear in your word. And Lord, be clear in our hearts as we walk out of this place to be maturing in our faith, to be ambassadors of reconciliation. Let us so be. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I want you to go to your notes because we're going to go back and forth like we do, but also keep your Bible ready because we're going to be going to a couple of different places. The author of the book of Hebrews lovingly draws his readers back more than 1,000 years to remember God's all-inspiring encounter with his people at Mount Sinai. If you think about an all-inspiring, I thought about that word as we use that word. What is something that's all-inspiring for you? Humanly speaking, anybody ever been to Niagara Falls? I've been to Niagara Falls, and you can literally get right to the edge of Niagara Falls. Who's been there? Raise your hand so you know what I'm talking about. Did you get up on the rail and you felt like you were going to fall into the right there at the Niagara Falls and fall off the Canada side? It's overwhelming when you hear that water rushing and crushing. It's crazy. Same thing when I would go out to sea when we'd be underway in the Navy. You'd leave the port and the harbor, and you'd look back at Chesapeake Bay. You'd see the bridge that crosses over, and it gets smaller and smaller. And then eventually you get out so far that the sky meets the ocean. How many of you guys have been on a cruise? You've seen this picture. The sky meets the ocean. You can't tell the horizon where the ocean ends and the sky begins. It just kind of, you feel like you're in one of those snow globes that you shake up, and it just keeps going. It's overwhelming when you think about what ifs, right? What if this thing sinks? What if you go through the whole process? Don't let yourself get there, because just enjoy it. And at nighttime, what happens at night? Sky lights up, especially on the ocean, if your backyard. I would encourage you. Most people in the Bible were nomads, or they would spend a lot of time outside. And I think that's some of our, if you will, therapy that we need today, is we need to wake up and spend some time outside just looking at the stars and looking at the majesty of God. During the daytime, we're used to seeing the blue because we're inhabitants of the daytime. But I want to strongly suggest to you, if you need just mental health, get outside at night and thank God for all of his constellations. Just look at the beauty of the skies and have a daytime and nighttime, as it were, religion or relationship with Christ. It makes a difference when you're out there at night. Try to get away from the light pollution. But the word of God's come back that there's this situation at Mount Sinai. And it's not necessarily a good one as far as humans are speaking. As recorded in the book of Exodus, that moment was marked with fire and trembling by human failure and yet enduring faith. And we'll see that Moses had that faith. The mountain burned, the people feared, and the weight of God's holiness was unmistakable. I don't think we can really quite understand all of this picture, even though we can see it. We talked about this morning with young adults and Bible class and Catalyst. And by the way, if you're not involved in a Catalyst class at 9 o'clock, can you just do me a favor? Set your coffee and your timer. Get up a little bit earlier and come to a small group and learn more from the Word of God. Grow as a disciple. There's something from birth to senior adults. There's something for everyone. We're not wasting time. We want you here. And you'll learn and you'll grow and you'll share with your faith family what it means to make a difference for the kingdom of God. So if you can, I would encourage you. I'd like to push you if I could, even shove you if I could. Get here on time at 9 o'clock and get into a small group and see how your life can change. You have something, not so you just come and get. If you're a Christian this morning, you have something to come and give. You have a spiritual gift to give away. I saw flowers flying around. I don't know the whole story behind the flowers, but I've seen a bunch of roses this morning. Somebody's encouraging somebody. No one gave me one, but I didn't get a Valentine's. I tell you that Bridget brought a whole group of Valentine's to, where's Bridget? She gave a whole mess of candy to the team. Bridget, I can't eat candy. You know that. My sugar's bad. So she tempted me this morning with Valentine's. She brought Valentine's for our entire class this morning. It's the month of love we talk about. Let's look back at God's word. If God's the same in the Old Testament, how come we don't have this reverent fear, this awe-inspiring fear today? Well, we talked about it in our small group. When is the last time you've been afraid of God or his actions? Has there been a time? Aiken's experienced it. North Carolina experienced it. What is it? The hurricane. When the hurricane's blowing and going, what is everybody doing? We're trying to hunker down and get to a place of safety. Oh, God, spare my family. Oh, God, spare my life. God, spare my friends. We're asking God for favors when we start to see his hand come through. And it's just a natural disaster. You imagine what's happening here. This could be, the Bible describes a darkness, describes fire. It describes we would see lightning and we would see hear thunders. And the people are afraid. God, Moses, you just go talk to God and leave us out of it. Just tell us what we're supposed to do, and we're pretty good with that. But I want to encourage you, as we set the rules today, God hasn't changed. He's still that holy that he was on Mount Sinai. He's still the same God today. But listen, he's let us know him in a very different way. So I gave you some, go along with the scriptures there, Exodus 19, Exodus 24, Exodus 32, and Deuteronomy chapter 9. He comes to the place that even Moses was fear and trembling going up on the mountain. Moses, we think of Moses of lifting up the rod of God and splitting the Red Sea. We think of the plagues when he stood up to Pharaoh. But Moses is before a holy God, and the Bible says, it actually has a direct quote that Moses is afraid. He's greatly afraid, and what is he afraid for? His very life. Why was Moses afraid? Was he not chosen by God? Do you remember the story? Was he chosen by God? Before birth, God had a plan. His mother and father didn't fear the king, and they put him, his mom put him in that basket, and he was saved, and he was, as it were, a Old Testament version or picture of Jesus because he was a leader, a savior of his people. Not that he himself did it, but he was leading the people. Even today, the Jewish people reverence Moses. So we come in and say, well, why was Moses afraid? Why was he trembling? Why was he, like the other people, saying, I fear the situation on Mount Sinai? Can I tell you why? God never changes. No, Moses is one of us. He knew himself. I don't know if they had mirrors or not, but when he would look at himself, especially through the Word of God, against the holiness of God, he didn't measure up. He knew that he could die at a moment's notice. That lightning that's striking all around, the holiness of God, the Shekinah glory that's there, even the darkness and everything that's happening, fear was in his heart because he knew if it came down to everything, I'm not right with God. And I know it's a somber moment to think about ourselves, but we kind of did it this morning. It was kind of fun. It broke up the seriousness of it, but I would like you to do it in here. It's fun to do. Take your pointer finger like your mother used to do when she used to get onto you and just point it to your neighbor. Somebody just swing it at a neighbor and say, you are a sinner. Try it. It's a lot of fun. Just point it at somebody. Just say, you're a sinner. Some of you aren't pointing. You know why? Because I don't want to say it because you're a sinner. You're a sinner. Moses was a sinner. And when sin always comes up, when darkness comes up against a holy God, what happens? Fear, anxiety, stress, running away. We want to get away from it so quickly like the people did. Say, listen, just tell us what to do and we'll do it. Was that a truth statement? Did they do what Moses said? No, you know the golden calf. If you keep reading in Exodus, you find out they were disobedient to God. Even while Moses is receiving the Ten Commandments from God up on the mountain, they're downstairs saying, hey, where's Moses? Where's Moses? This guy's gone. He's been gone for a long time. 40 days. He was gone over a month on top of the mountain. So what do? Aaron tells Moses, well, they all took their earrings off and then threw them in the fire, and out came this calf. I mean, but if you read earlier, it says Aaron told the people, give me your earrings. He threw them in the fire, and he designed the calf himself. Why? He'd already been chosen. If you go back and read chapter 20, he's already got his dress code for leading the people spiritually. But how is he leading them? The way they wanted to be led. The people wanted to be pleased and say, listen, let's just make an idol for us, and we'll say that's God. We'll worship God that way, and that's how we're going to do it. Are people doing that today? Are churches compromising with culture and saying, we'll make a God of love? God is the God who's the God of love. Is that true from the Bible? He is the God of love, is he not? Because the Bible says God is love. But is he still the God of wrath? Is he a jealous God? Is he the God of all power, all knowing? Is his word still true today? That's where we come down to. Do we believe in the biblical God? And if your God is described as you describe God, if you're describing in any other way other than the biblical way, you're not describing the God of the Bible. It's a God of your own making or your own believing. And sinful man, listen, I'm telling you, since the days of old, sinful man and women and boys and girls will create a God of their own making, because this makes me satisfied that I can have a little bit of religion and still live in sin the way I want to live. It's up to us to actually go to the Word of God, extract, who is this God that we're saying we serve? Who is this God that says he loves us? Who is this righteous God? And we submit, as it were, ourselves to him. We become holy as he is holy because of the relationship now that we have in the new covenant. Let's continue in your notes. Go back and look at this. But the writer of Hebrews does not leave us at Mount Sinai. Thank God we're not in fear and trembling today of not having a communication with God. As a matter of fact, what does Hebrews tell us? How do we go before the throne room of God? How do you pray? How are you strongly commanded to pray? The writer of the Bible tells us to go how? Boldly, go directly to the throne of God. When do you have access? When is it open? When is the hot now on in heaven? 24/7. God never sleeps. God never slumbers. The Bible says he who watches over Israel, he never does any of those things. He's awake 24/7. You can't sleep at 2 o'clock in the morning. Get up. I would encourage you to go outside if you're able. Look up and have a conversation with God. He's available. God wants us to speak with him. God wants us to know him in a very personal way. The Bible says he knows us in a very personal way. I want you to see this as we continue. He gently reminded, I should have put reminded because it was past tense, but it reminds us today, believers that have not come to a mountain of fear, not Mount Sinai, but to the grace of a new covenant. Because of Jesus, we do not stand at a distance like those people back in terror. We draw near with confidence. How weird is that? Imagine if we could be transported back in the time of the Exodus and we get to Mount Sinai and we're like, hey, guys, just so you know, we get to talk to God directly 24 hours a day. As a matter of fact, he started this new covenant, the blood covenant, no more animals, but God died himself for us. Wait a minute. No, it gets better. He said, if I would receive that free gift of salvation, he now lives inside of me. God dwells within me. The Holy Spirit lives inside of me for eternity. Jesus promised, the Son of God, said he'd never leave me nor what? Forsake me. You're going to hear that again in 2 weeks. It's right here in Hebrews. He says that. That's directly from God. Well, I want you to see this. Those who trust in him are not turned away. They are welcomed, registered in the Lamb's Book of Life, and secured by his finished work. What once inspired fear now gives way to comfort, assurance, and abiding hope in Christ. Listen, church, we have the good news. God is still holy. We're still sinners, but God has made a way, as it were, through the blood of Jesus Christ, bringing us together, God to man, man to God. Isn't that a beautiful picture? Isn't that's a cause for thanksgiving today that God has done what he's done. Philippians 4:3, if you would, just as we peruse over that way, I want you to see this, because sometimes if you're just now new studying the Bible, you'll say, wait a minute. Sometimes in the Bible it says Book of Life, and sometimes it says Lamb's Book of Life. What's the diff? The answer is there's no difference. It's the same. I want you to see this. Paul, writing to the church at Philippi, he's talking about a situation that's happening within the church, and Paul's going to actually just bring it out and say, "Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved." He's going to talk about Euodia and Syntyche to be part of the same mind in the Lord. Why does he tell these two people in church to get together? Because they're obviously arguing about the color of the carpet, are they not? Something's wrong in the church and they're disagreeing. Paul is bringing them together because he calls them with Clement, right? "And I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labor with me in the gospel with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in" where? Where does it say the names are? In the book of life. Those that were faithful servants, the Apostle Paul says, with me, their names are written in the book of life. You can read all the other scriptures. I gave it to you there in Revelation 3. As a matter of fact, let's go ahead, since it's church time, let's have a little bit of church and read it together. Go to Revelation chapter 3, if you would, verse 5. The Bible says this: "He whoever comes shall be clothed with white garments, in white garments, and I will not blot his name out of" what? "The book of life. But I will confess his name before my Father and before the angels" or the holy angels. Take your Bibles. Let's go to the end of Revelation. This is the beautiful part of having the Word of God. We don't have to fear today. We don't have to come in fear and trembling saying, "Wait a minute, God's still holy. I'm still a sinner." We have this relationship of the new covenant, church. Revelation 21. Let's just read a part of this if we could. You there? Say amen. Revelation 21. John's writing this. Now, the Apostle John, this is one of the former sons of thunder. I guess he still is. He probably still has the tattoos because he and his brother were called by Jesus the sons of thunder. Now, John is also called now in his later life. What's he called? He has a different nickname. The Apostle of Love. This man who was fervent, he was on fire. He wanted to call fire down from heaven like Elijah to kill the Samaritans when they wouldn't let Jesus have a little place to stop in the village. He and his brother wanted to kill people in the name of Jesus, using the authority of God. Sound familiar to us today? We got to be so careful, don't we? We read this together. Revelation, this is the Apostle of Love. Revelation chapter 21, beginning of verse 1. "Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is where, church?'" Hey, take the word, if you don't study the Bible often, take the word "men" out and put your name there. If you're a Christian, you can put your name there. God's tabernacle is with you as a believer, as the righteous of God, righteous people of God. He's with you. Well, verse 3, picking back up there, "God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes," which infers there's going to be tears. We'll talk about that if we get a chance. "There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have" done what, church? Say it louder. "Passed away." Your troubles are in the flow of passing away, just so you know that. "Then he who sat on the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.' And he said to me, 'Write, for these are faithful and true, these words are faithful and true, or true and faithful.' And he said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit" what? All, say it, church. Come on, say it like you mean it. "All things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Everybody excited about that one? Let's go over to verse 22. I'm going to jump. You keep reading at home. We don't have time today. Go over, if you would, to verse 22. John's still writing, "But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need for the sun or the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. And the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day. There shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. But there shall by no means enter into anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written, say it with me, church, in the Lamb's Book of Life. Praise God, my name has been reserved. I told you about that airline ticket. It is now reserved because I put my name in and I paid for it. Here's the good thing about heaven. You can put your name in and say, Lord Jesus, I submit to you today. I want to give my heart and life to you. And he pays the price. Someone else paid it for you. All you have to do is receive the gift. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of life is everlasting life in and through Christ Jesus our Lord. Is that what the scripture says in Romans 6:23? Then he says, everyone, Romans 10:13, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is a promise from God's word. Church, listen, we serve an awesome God. But we're also some sorry sinners. And we don't like to look at ourselves. We've arrived. Have we not? You can take a homeless person, shower, clean them up, and put them in a suit, and everybody thinks they're wealthy. You can take the dumbest person in the world or a fool and keep them quiet. The Bible says, even a fool appears wise if he keeps his mouth shut. Why can we say all those things? Because we're sinners and we understand who we are. We don't like to talk about it because we have status. We have socioeconomic status. We have relationships. I'm a supervisor. You're a supervisor. I don't want anybody to know. I told the college this morning, you look at social media, most ladies with long hair, I'm just assuming because I've been married to one for a long time, most women with long hair wake up with ratchet hair. Your hair looks like somebody electrocuted you during the night, right? Especially if you roll and move. Man, am I telling the truth? Don't talk about your wife. Talk about somebody else's, right? And we wake up and we never take that picture and go, oh, I can barely see. I need coffee and go, no smoochy lips with that and put on social media. We put our best picture out there, right? And now some of you believe you look like AI's picture. Yeah, I said, Wendy, who is this? This person's a whole lot prettier now than I've seen in person. I don't know who this is. He looks much younger. Got a big tank head, but he looks better. I said, Wendy, I think people are starting to believe that's what they look like. You better look at a real mirror. You got saggy skin, wrinkles. We all see it, right? You got fat bellies. Listen, I love it. I love reality, and I do like this time that we live in because we fake it. We try to fake it till we make it. We try to put on the best foot forward. We want you to see the best of me. We don't want you to see us when we're sick, when we're down and out, when we need help. We don't want to show that side of us because that's who we really are. And then you can't fix me. I can't fix you. What do we both have to do? Quit being self-centered and run quickly and be God-centered and say, God, I need you in my life. God, without you, I can't be healed. God, without you, I can't make it another day. Quit faking it because you're not going to make it to the kingdom. You have to register through the blood of Jesus Christ. You must submit yourself and say, Lord, I am who the Bible says I am. I'm a sinner. Lord, I fail every single time. But Lord, you're holy and you made a way. No more Mount Sinai. No more scary times with God. We fear God in a sense that we know he can take our life, but we fear God in reverence that we love him. And he did this for us. Holy God of Old and New Testament did this for you and for me. We can't explain it. We just read it and we have to believe it by faith. Let's continue in notes if you would. I want you to see this. We are tenderly, that word is very important because the writer of Hebrews, he's been telling us back in chapter 11, hey, look, go back and look, if you would, go back and look, look at faith. This is what faith is. Go back and look. Abel was righteous before God. Go back and look. Enoch walked with God. Go back and look. Abraham, Moses, he goes back and gives all these characters saying, go back and look. And y'all, it requires us not just to read Hebrews 11, but it requires us to hold our place and go back to the Old Testament and say, what was God saying? What was he doing? And we are fortunate today in the 21st century. We can look back. We have the whole chronological period of God working in people's lives, and we can say, oh, look what God did here. Why does God keep that preserved for you and me today? Why an Old Testament? Because a lot of people say, we don't need the Old Testament anymore. It's useless. I want to tell you, it's not useless. God gives us a pattern of who he is. God's moral standards never stop. Even in Exodus on the law, thou shalt not steal. Guess what it is today on the books in heaven? Thou shalt not steal. It's not because Yeah, you're going to go to jail. Yes, you're going to cause hardship for the people that you steal from. Yes, you're going to go to hardship for your family. He said, thou shalt not steal, because I am a holy God and you're my people. The people of God are to be holy as he's holy, says 1 Peter. You say, well, how can I be that? He tells you step by step by step. Today, I'm not everything I want to be. But listen, I have to live for Christ today. Will I sin and fall short of God's glory? Yes, I'll beat a quick path. My job is to beat a quick path and ask for forgiveness. If I sin against you, will you forgive me? And then I go beat a quick path. For God, he's faithful and just to forgive me of my sins if I confess them. Is that what it says in 1 John 1:9? If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us. Well, this might be heavy for you, but listen, remember how we pointed our finger at each other? Sinner, sinner. Some of you didn't do it. Some of you enjoyed it. You're like, yeah, I just wanted to say that. I've been wanting to say that for a while. It's just the truth of the Word of God, of humanity. Let's continue. I want you to see this in the notes. This is the beautiful picture. We are tenderly reminded that we have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to begin to grasp the wonder of this gift. We must lift our eyes and set our minds on the awesome realities of heaven. Y'all, I've tried to start something new. I've done it time past, but it's like fasting and praying. Sometimes you just get so busy, you just kind of, I know I need to, but I don't have time. You ever been there and done that? I'm in a room of pious saints that know we pray 24 hours a day. All right, three times a day, five times. No, listen, don't you get busy? And unfortunately for pastors, guess what we get busy doing? Church work. Church work replaces personal relationship with God and following what he says to do. So God has, I have to repent of church work sometimes to come back and say, God, I'm sorry, would you forgive me, and get back into the Word of God. But something new that God has put in my heart, especially for a time of the season in life I'm in, is meditation on the Word of God. Hey, go with me. I don't have it in your notes. You need to write this in. Here's a bonus Bible for today. Something God just put in here for me, and I hope it's for you as well. Go to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, it won't come up on the board. It's not there unless they can beat me to it. Colossians chapter 3, beginning of verse 1. Colossians 3, verse 1. When you're there, say amen, because this is stuff you need to mark in your Bible. If you write in your Bible, this is a powerful passage. And, of course, it's the passage after it as well. And I know that I say that about every week, about every scripture, but this is a growth pattern for us if we'd follow it. If you're there, say amen. Colossians chapter 3, beginning of verse 1. If then you were raised with Christ, by the way, were you raised with Christ, yes or no? If you have your reservation through the blood of Jesus Christ, you were, as it were, raised with Christ. You're a new creation. Behold, all things have come new. The old stuff has passed away. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. What does chapter verse 2 say? Look at verse 2. Say it with me, church. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. You need the stuff on the earth. I know this. Listen, we need to drink and eat. We know we have to do all the things that everyone else does. We have to work. But set your mind on things above. That meditation that I've been doing is literally taking time out, leaving the phone away from me, leaving any kind of communication ways down. I've been going upstairs, sitting on the kids' old carpet floor and sitting and just thinking about heaven. Just thinking about God. Taking his word, yes, with you, but just sit and just think. What's it going to be like? We sing the song, I can only imagine, but we don't oftentimes imagine it. We don't take time to actually think. Has anyone lost a loved one that's already in heaven? Anybody in the room? Somebody have somebody in heaven? Will you see them again? The Bible says you'll be known as you're known. You say, well, explain that. Okay, everybody take a deep breath. Explain that. When'd you get that? Because you were living in liquid when you're inside your mama, right? Where'd you get it? It's the breath of God. It's God who created us. He's knit us together in a mother's womb. It's God who made us. We are his sheep of his pasture. It's God who's redeemed us. Sinful people, yes. But God says, I will make a way of escape. Anyone comes to me, I will by no means turn him away. Jesus said those things. Do we believe him today? I want you to see this. Listen, as we see these beautiful things, we have to set our minds on things above. Take time just to meditate. Lord, if it's 5 minutes, Lord, please, no distractions for 5 minutes. I just want to think on the things above. I want to set my mind on things above. Look at verse 3 again. For you died and your life is hidden where? With Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you put your name there. You also will appear with him in glory. Church, we're going to be with Christ forever if we're registered. If you don't have your registration made, just like when I didn't buy that airplane ticket the first day, I was not going to Pennsylvania. Now, there might be delays. When I want to go, there might be delays, but I have an appointment there, and I got to get there, right? You have an appointment with heaven. Or, unfortunately, the Bible says there's going to be no carnal thing in heaven. There's no sin, no liars are going to heaven. You have your appointment. If you don't do anything, your ticket's punched for hell already. Is that true? There is no in-between. We wish there were in-between. We wish there was another place. We know the Catholics have made this other place called purgatory. It doesn't exist. It's made up by their group of people. It doesn't exist. The Roman Catholics made it up. Because ask a Catholic, if you got a Catholic friend or if you from a Catholic background, go ask the priest downtown at St. Mary's if Baptists can go to purgatory. We don't have tickets. They don't even make Baptist or Methodist tickets anymore for purgatory. You know why? It never existed. It's man-made. So what I want to see is, listen, there is no in-between. We all hope like crazy there's something else that the Bible didn't tell us about. Is God still holy? Has God revealed himself to us? Has God revealed his son, Jesus Christ, to us? Has God told us where we come from? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Not a big bang, God. 6 literal days, and on the seventh day, he rested. It's what the Bible says. You say, well, my science teacher, okay, put your science teacher, sinful person, up against holy God. You can believe science teacher if you want to. I'm taking God every day of the week, right? That's a win. So we know where we come from, and we know why we're here. Don't you know why you're here? Your purpose? Your purpose is to bring him glory and enjoy him while you live. You say, you don't know how busy I am. In that busyness, whatever it is, in the being a mom, in being a dad, in being who you are, whatever you do, bring him glory in that and enjoy him. That's your purpose for living. You say, well, my life is hard. Okay, I'm sorry. Bring him glory and enjoy him. That is your sole purpose for living today. Well, if you know where you come from, you know why you're here, and we know we have a choice to know where we're going. If you do nothing with this message, if you do nothing with the blood of Jesus Christ, I can honestly before God with the scripture tell you, you're going to hell. Do nothing and you're going to hell. You're not registered for heaven. This does not apply. As if I didn't get that airline ticket, I'm not going to Pennsylvania. But like I said earlier when we started, I put my name in and I paid the price. I put my name in with the Lord Jesus Christ when I was 21 years old, and he paid the price. He gave me the gift. Anyone who comes to him, anyone, he turns no one away. Anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, as it were, shall be registered in heaven. Let's try to pick up a little speed. I want you to see this. We go back to your notes. By sheer grace, God has given us the astonishing assurance that our citizenship is secure in his holy city. We belong there. I belong in heaven. You belong in heaven. Why? Not because of Clint Smith, not because of who you are, because of whose you are in Christ. But as we're not there for strangers, but as sons and daughters. Does that blow your mind? Still can't fathom it, even though I know what I'm reading this and I'm preaching this and I'm teaching this. I believe it. Our security rests not in shifting earthly circumstances, but in the unshakable promises, and should be promises, of God. We are gathered with all the redeemed saints, surrounded by the joyful assembly of angels, and held fast in and by the presence of the living God himself. Does that your mind at all? Anybody, when you read that, going, this is for me. He did this for me. He did, obviously, to bring himself glory, but he did it for me and you. Anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm overwhelmed by it. I don't even know how to communicate how astonishing I think this is, even in my personal heart. Something I shared this week in Bible class for our students, John 14, this will be the last passage we go to, maybe. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then John 14. Turn there if you would. This is something we read at funerals. It's not a funeral passage, but we read it at funerals because it's applicable. John 14, the Gospel of John. When you're there, say amen, because you want to see this. Jesus has told his disciples he's leaving. He's going to the cross. They're panicked. They're stressed out, like we are oftentimes. He says this in verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, or many rooms, is that translation. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for who? Put your name right there if you're a Christian. If you're registered, you have a place prepared already for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Verse 4, and where you go, and where I go, you know, and the way you do, we know the way to heaven. Well, if you don't, Jesus is about to answer it for you. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going, and how can we know the way? Thank God Jesus put this in the Bible. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father, but how? Except through me, through Jesus Christ. So I wrote this down. It's important. Listen, this is a side note to your notes. God lives in us while we live on earth. Is that true? The Holy Spirit lives inside of me and around me, the Bible says. That's what the Bible says. If I profess Jesus Christ as Lord. So God lives in us while we live on earth. But here's the kind of cool thing. We live with God when we go to heaven. He's prepared a place for us. My life is the place for him on earth. The Bible calls us our bodies as a temple of the Holy Spirit, right? We're a temple of God as we walk around. No more temple in Jerusalem. Today, we are the temples. We walk around. That's why he says, be holy as I'm holy. But when we die, listen, the beautiful picture is no longer Christ in us, but us with Christ, even though we're together with God. Such truth should steady our anxious hearts and strengthen our weary souls. Our future is not uncertain. Amen? It is anchored in the God of the heavenly city where he reigns and where our names are known and forever registered. How long does your registration last? Forever. Forever, church. Listen, if you've given your life to Christ, this is some good news. And finally, our hearts must adore Jesus, the mediator of a new blood covenant. He is the gracious one who brings God and humanity together, not through fear or distance like Mount Sinai, but through his own sprinkled blood that speaks a better word, mercy instead of judgment, forgiveness instead of condemnation. He awaits his redeemed, not with reluctance, but with welcoming love, secured by his finished work. You can read that in 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 6. And then he mentions better than Abel. Well, this whole series has been Jesus is better. Go back and look at Genesis chapter, I think it's about chapter 4. You learn about Abel. He made a sacrifice that was acceptable to God. He was righteous, the Bible says. His offering was accepted. Cain's was refused. God's always given us a contrast of the righteous and the unrighteous. And then we go back and see, we read in Hebrews 11 that Abel, listen, he was remembered for his blood was spilt, right? And the earth cried out saying, obviously the earth communicates with God because it's God's creation. It had received his blood. The Lord says, listen, he was a righteous man who was not guilty, as it were, before God. He was doing what God said to do, and his brother killed him. Probably in the very act or right after it. Today, the blood still speaks, does it not? The blood of Christ speaks to you and to me. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord, it cries out, be reconciled to God. The Bible even calls us ambassadors of reconciliation. We are to preach that message, be reconciled. Bring things back together, be holy, as he is holy. We were his creation. We sinned. Adam and Eve sinned, fell short of God's glory, and were separated from God. And now we have this eternal binding, as it were, the relationship back to us. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that's through the blood of Jesus Christ, believing on him, receiving him, and believing that God had raised him from the dead, that he's alive, how long? Forevermore. Bless his name. Let's pray. Father God, don't always understand even the stuff that I preach sometimes. Lord, I get into it and get excited to think about this is reality. This is going to change some lives. When people hear this, when you hear this truth that I'm a sinner, we know we're sinners. But Lord, that you, our God, wants to save our souls. And Lord, not only save our souls, you've created a place for us in eternity. And Lord, not only just created a place for us, but Lord, you said you will dwell with us. We, the angels. It's overwhelming to think about. But Lord, you tell us to set our minds on things above. Let us think on these things and not just think of them in a philosophical way or even a theological way, Lord, but just live them, that this is true. And I can have access to everything that you tell me I have access to through the blood of Jesus Christ and that personal relationship. Oh, God, I wish I could make everybody in this room and everybody watching my social media, I wish I could make them believers in Christ. But, Lord, I know that's not my job. My job is to be a herald, to be a preacher, to tell the truth based on your word. And, Lord, I know the Holy Spirit moves in our hearts to say, I want some of that. I want to give my life to Christ. So, Lord, if there's someone today that has never received the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, I pray that today would be the day, now would be the time of salvation. Lord, if there's Christians who haven't been obedient, even through baptism, Lord, that we'd be obedient. We know we're saved, we'd be obedient. Just so, Lord, you said so, therefore it is so. And Lord, if we're a Christian today and we've gotten kind of carnal, we've gotten kind of on the edge, Lord, with others and ourselves and relationships at work, wherever it might be, Lord, may we repent in tears. May we see the holiness of God. May we see our sin. And Lord, place that under the blood. We need you. We love you. We thank you for what you're doing in our lives. For the believers today, Lord, who is like they're on fire for you, I pray you just continue to fan that flame within them because that's what they're doing as well. The Holy Spirit's moving their hearts, Lord, that revival might come, that we'd see many come to know you as Lord and Savior. We pray this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen and amen.